All right, everybody, we're doing the Brain Trust. All right, everybody, we're doing the Brain Trust podcast. Yeah, Beans is already making his presence known. I'm Adam Vass, and I'm a tabletop game designer in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And I'm Willie Oops, a tabletop game designer in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And we are joined by a very special guest. We have Aaron King, designer of Patchwork World and co-host on Read the Fucking Manual. Aaron, what's up?
Hello, thank you. I'm a game designer in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've always wanted to say that here.
Yes. On a recent episode, we were chatting about collage games, and Adam had the great idea of bringing Aaron on because Aaron is a collage master. Is that the term?
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Thank you.
But before, you okay?
My tinnitus is going off.
Ooh,
you gotta love it.
It's so quiet in my apartment because I turned the AC off, and I feel like I'm in the NASA room. Anyway, what's going on? Aaron, what's new?
Nothing much. I am recovering from a week of illness, and so it feels like the world is new again. I have opportunities to move, to sense things that I had not sensed for a week, and so I'm good. And nothing is new. I am new. It's a new me.
Really human level goodness coming from your side.
Right.
Adam, what's going on?
Same old. Just devouring my lunch in time to record and temporarily losing my hearing from tinnitus while we record. And, you know, I'm just in a really silly, goofy mood, I guess.
Is that because, like, you know, after you eat, you get tired because your stomach is, like, calling all blood cells, need some blood to get in here, hang on to this food? Do you think your cilia is doing that at this point?
Yeah, there's no blood in my ear. Completely void. And so I can actually hear the absence of sound. Huh. I don't feel like I need to explain that any further.
That's beautiful. I used to use earplugs all the time. I haven't listened to anything loud or done anything loud in 3 years, and it's really getting to me at this point. The loudest thing I hear anymore is a YouTube advertisement.
It's gonna rock your world when it happens, because your threshold is so much lower now.
I'm getting sensitive. I'm really sensitive nowadays. I find that, like, I did the thing where you're supposed to go on your iPhone and, like, reduce the decibels so you don't get hearing damage, because I really don't want it. I've played enough drums to be aware of what it could do to me. The loudest thing is, like, my own voice, pretty much. Or my cat meowing. It's weird. I feel like I live on a different planet. What's the loudest thing you two have heard recently?
I went to a show like a month ago. I saw Foxing perform, and that was probably it. Which feels like a cheater answer, because, like, it's just live bands are loud.
Yeah, I feel like your answer should be something that's not on a decibel chart of, like, here's the things that are loud.
Well, that's challenging, because the other answer I would give was a lawnmower, because I had to mow my lawn. And I wear my, like, noise-canceling headphones while I do so. The modern-day hearing protection, which is the absence of noise.
AI is killing my lawnmower.
Maybe that's a cyber metal adventure for sure. Every once in a while, like, when Beans gets scared and does a bark in the middle of the night, that's really loud.
Yeah, and that has, like, dramatic loudness associated to
yes,
it.
Yes, it scares the life out of me.
Aaron, what you got?
I have really loud upstairs neighbors. I live in a duplex. Ooh, and the worst. Actually, we were recording an episode of RTFM once, and this music was blasting so much that they could hear it on the call. and I went to try to ask them to turn it down, and they weren't upstairs, and they weren't in the backyard, and I went downstairs, and they were blasting this music on their phone, and I said, excuse me, I'm on a call, can you please turn it down? And this young woman lifts, she says, in a second, my hands are full, and she lifts a cat from our laundry room sink that we share in the basement. This cat is just wet and dripping. She's bathing her cat in the laundry room. Just the saddest looking cat. And so I was like, I get it. Take your time. And she did. She did turn the music down. So
that neighbor noise thing is so wild because it becomes omnidirectional. You don't know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I had like a neighbor that would throw these parties between... It was my landlord, too. Landlord, downstairs basement neighbor that would have parties going from, like, 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. on, like, a Sunday night. Little toxic. Did love that. And it was so loud, I just couldn't tell if it was from upstairs or downstairs. Oh, my God, that was so bad. I live basically in a sensory deprivation tank at this point, so it's pretty different.
Damn, I want to be where you are.
Welcome to Toronto. The only things I hear are this dog that seems to live alone in an apartment across from mine. Every time I go out,
the dog's like, apartment. Hey, what's up?
It's pretty much a dog's apartment. I've got a funky laundry room situation. One of my laundry machines, there's a cheat where you can, instead of paying a dollar and two coins, everything's coins here, I'm sorry. $1 coin and two 25 cent coins. You can pay just three 25 cent coins because it doesn't know the difference. And this secret was passed on to me by another tenant here. And I have to figure out who is cool enough that I can share the secret and who won't snitch to the super that there is a hack on the washing machine.
The thing is that then you start with a debuff. You have 25% less health. So if you're good at laundry, you can still beat it at that rate. But if you're new, maybe you need that extra health.
And if you summon extra health, the boss's health bar is doubled.
Right.
So keep that in mind when you're running it. So I have to clock people in the washing machine room. And this one guy like was not giving me space in this very small room. And I was like, you do not deserve the 50 cent discount I've discovered.
The forbidden knowledge.
Yeah, that's just a little troubling mentality I have, apparently. Anyway, we are here to talk about collaging and collage in games. So I think the first thing is, you know, kind of what that means to us.
Yeah, I want Aaron to really dig in here because they're the expert and I'm a tourist. Because when I think, like, honestly, when I think of collage in games, Aaron's work comes to mind immediately. Whether that's Patchwork World or even just like the art, obviously, in the cover of Patchwork World is a collage. And yeah, so Aaron, we were sort of like waxing poetic a little bit before the show, but I guess before we get into even game specific stuff, like how did you get involved? You make collages.
Yes.
Go on.
Speak on that.
Yeah. I joke that I make collages because I wish I was better at drawing. I always liked drawing growing up. But my skill, I could never get past, like, I can see something and kind of copy it. I can internalize some of what's going on. But if you just, like, put a blank piece of paper in front of me and say, draw Bart Simpson, I can't. And so I wanted to make art for my own games because, I mean, maybe we'll get into this later, but, like, I have a worst case scenario mindset. And so my worst case scenario is like, I will do this alone across however long it takes. I will make the art alone. I will do the layout alone. And so I wanted some way that was not as stressful as trying to draw. And I started collaging and had done a little bit of it in college. My undergrad program had a lot of cool art classes for non-majors. took some of those, like printmaking and drawing, and got to be close to the professor, and she was running a higher level art class called Collecting and Display in Art and Science. And I was like, I know I'm not an art major, but can you please let me in this class? And she did, and it was super cool, and there was stuff about kind of collaging and wonder cabinets in different ways of bringing all these disparate components into a single piece of art that really inspired me and helped me kind of move forward with that stuff.
That's beautiful. What an excellent class to take.
Yeah.
What is a wonder cabinet?
A wonder cabinet, there's a German term, because of course there is, that I am not going to try to butcher.
Wonder cabinet.
Yeah. A wonder cabinet was like, you know, before cars, before the internet, rich people would get a cabinet together of all these strange wonders that were brought back from faraway lands or discovered deep beneath the earth. You know, and it'd be like, This is a unicorn horn, and this is a, you know, this is turmeric. Like, it's so bright. Can you even imagine? You've never seen anything this bright, the color kind of stuff. And that led
to... This is
to,
a little piece of a mummy that I eat.
It led to a lot of, like, funny ways of organizing and, like, taxonomy. People would be like, I've organized my wonder cabinet so that the things closest to God are on the top shelves, and that the most sinful things are on the bottom shelves, and the human things are in the middle. But it would just be like a rock and some spices and a bone or whatever, but they would have these ways of ascribing these qualities of like, this is a very godly rock, so it's on the top shelf. Just strange stuff like that.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I'm trying to think, when you say that, what is, how I have organized that stuff for myself. Just, I think we all have like a folder on our computer of screenshotted shit that we like or something like that.
These are my screenshots closest to God. It's a good review on itch.io. Yeah.
Have you taken the advice and made a folder of everything nice someone has said about your work?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that... I really haven't touched that thing in a long time.
That's the God cabinet.
That's the God cabinet.
Yeah.
And my attitude toward it is the devil cabinet. You talk about earlier that you are doing the worst case scenario thing of doing everything yourself for a game. And I don't think either Adam and I can relate to that in any way.
I know you absolutely can. There's a cartoonist named Daryl Ayo, and I was listening to a podcast with him, and he was talking about like his tendencies toward depression and stuff, and basically says like, I break my work into the smallest amount of chunks possible so that even on my worst day, I can like get this one chunk done and continue moving forward. And it might take me 20 years to do something that a cartoonist does in a month or whatever, but as long as I can like break that down and continue moving forward, I know I am getting better and getting stuff done. And so I think that was kind of what I meant of just like, I will get this done. I will get it printed. It might not look as nice as if I crowdfunded it or hired someone else, but if I tried to do that, maybe it just wouldn't get done. So
I love that attitude.
Yeah, that's more wise than I think I've ever been in my own production schedule.
There is something, because I just had this experience with this Discord has ghosts in it, where you have to pick a date at some point for things to happen. And then you get this sinking feeling that all of the work that you've done before kind of existed in an abstract non-space. And then when you apply it to a calendar for production concerns, like editing, layout, printing, all the shit, playtesting, even that, it kind of, this like capitalist mentality creeps in and trivializes everything that you did before that maybe wasn't quote unquote product. It's weird. I really like that mentality. That kind of helps deprogram some of that.
Thank you. And it is like, I think the invisible work stuff that you were just talking about really gets back to my idea of like collage, not as a visual medium, but like letting stuff sit in my brain and compost and like grow weeds together, like bringing together these, again, disparate elements into something new, like a repurposing, it takes time. And like compost, a lot of time passing usually makes for some better, weirder stuff that will then come out of my brain. But it's hard to say, like, I've been working on this for years, when all I really mean is I read these three books together years ago, and now finally they've merged into something strange and unrecognizable and, like, ready to be set down. I can't, like, bill that time to someone as a freelancer or something.
I think that's a good segue into learning more about Patchwork World, Aaron's excellent game that is itself probably the culmination of this brain collage that you're describing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, can you give us the sort of elevator pitch of Patchwork World?
Yeah, it's powered by the apocalypse and inspired by a lot of OSR stuff. There's no playbooks, though, and no stats. You just pick from a suite of 70 moves, which I think is my worst mistake, the idea of asking someone to look at a list of 70 things and pick two or three. But so you are already, like, pulling these weird things, and you pull these moves, these abilities for your characters. It's weird fantasy inspired by old fairy tales, Jim Henson movies, and everything I've ever read or seen. And the idea is that it's very easy to get started and requires not much cognitive load on a player's part. It partially came about, I ran D&D 5th edition for years after it came out, and some of my players were like old game heads and excited to play, but some were like people that had never entered that world before and maybe had ADHD or anxiety or different learning disabilities and came to the game with a lot of excitement but had such a hard time internalizing these rules or keeping track of them in a way that they could find them when they needed them. And so I was like, we can do better than this, and started making this game that really you just need a couple little sheets with your moves on them, and you don't have to keep track of any numbers. And that is hopefully an easier way to play.
That's beautiful. I've
probably said on the show before that Aaron is my favorite PBTA designer. And I got to team up with you and brainstorm with you when I was working on Babes in the Wood to sort of refine those moves and make them feel sort of just the feelings I get when I read Patchwork World moves, and how evocative and weird and, like, They're very intentional while still leaving so much space for story and weirdness and character customization. And I think that's the thing that was, like, my major takeaway from Patchwork World, is just, like, it's completely gonzo, and it does sort of fulfill that promise that a lot of RPGs make and struggle to fulfill, which is that you can do anything. But instead of having the sort of option paralysis beyond the having to pick from 70 moves, the moves that you do pick give you this gentle nudge and give you direction and purpose, and how you interpret them is, like, this additional purpose, and it just, like, feels right. It feels like this really great hybrid of you do whatever you want and you make this yours, but also, like, here's some stuff so you don't have to come up with it whole cloth or have to, like, hack your own game to do the things that you want to do.
Thank you.
Yeah, I find your mentality when it comes to the move creation for Patchwork World and reading The Apocalypse, which is a collection of PBTA moves inspired by media that you love. It is creating the mental magazine that I would be cutting stuff out of to make something of my own. So I think, like, that you said earlier that your biggest sin was the 70 moves, but I think, like, having 70 moves means that I can't hold anything, all of it in my head at once. I'm not supposed to. Supposed to, like, inhabit the two that I get and get surprised when other people use other things. And yeah, It's beautiful because the moves also distill your feelings about things that you love and story beats that you like and tropes that you are fascinated by in such a imminently gameable way. I sound like a back of the book reviewer.
No, this is great. I'm putting this in my compliments.
It's so
folder.
Inspiring. Please, I'll just send you the raw FLAC file so you can have a lossless compliment.
It's my new ringtone.
But yeah, it's like, I think, for example, we were talking a few months ago, and I said I was reading Circe by, oh my God, I forget her name.
Madeline Miller.
Yes. And you're like, hey, yeah, I made a move based on Circe about Pharmaca. And about harvesting the herbs that grow from the ichor of dead gods. And just like synthesizing the elements that you like, it's just so inspirational. It's like a playful approach to game design, which sounds like the most obvious thing in the world, but I feel is rare air. It's like a rare element in games that like they are playfully conceived and created. And you're just so good at that.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's another adaptation of, like, making sure I get my work done is if I'm not having fun doing it, it's so easy to just be like, I'll come back to this later. And so I have to make ways for it to stay engaging and fun for me to do the writing. And it's, it also becomes then one of the biggest signals of, like, if this writing isn't working, if I'm not having fun, it's like a sign that this is probably bad and I should come at it from a different angle that's way more fun and engaging for me.
Nice. Yeah, and that is to say, like, everything works in a vacuum also. Like, it's not a scary movie level reference fest. Like, it's,
thank you. Yeah.
Everything is its own construction and works together. Yeah, when you are creating your own, like, palette of cutout elements in... This is a wonder cabinet, right? We're back. So when you are creating your own bespoke wonder cabinet for a game or for the production of a game, what are you looking for? Like, what's your head telling you?
I think with a lot of collage stuff... when I was first starting, I would always try to collage onto a white piece of paper. And I think because, like, that's what people did in high school, like, with photos of themselves and their friends, right? They'd, like, get a piece of white tag board and cut out and then put themselves all over it or whatever, or their favorite movie stars. And it wasn't working for me. And finally I realized, like, you need a background to collage onto, something that will fill up that white space and something that will, like, give you a vague structure. And it's the same with, like, wonder cabinets too. The kind of a cabinet is going to dictate what looks good inside of it. And so, like, to start Patrick World, I think I did need the conceit of, like, this is going to be everything that I'm excited about. And so the background of it, the, like, very loose lore of it, is that this is a place where all these broken and busted things are getting shoved together. And once I had that, I really felt like I could kind of go wild on my side and contextualize all that stuff in relation to that background. So there's no real world building in the game, but a lot of the moves have little snippets of world building in them. So it also empowers players, like, if you're interested in this thing, take that move, and then you're kind of in control of that that part of the world building as well.
I love when game elements provide a POV for you to get into and say something from that perspective. I think that Patrick World is a great example of that, where, oh, the only thing that matters is what's on set at the moment, and it gives you eyes to look through for that.
Thank you. Yeah, and, like, a lot of it is inspired just by OSR blogs that I read, like, in 2014, about just, like, if you're going to have lore, it needs to be gameable. And I know that a lot of OSR writers from that time are ended up being shitty people, but I do want to be clear about, like, where I'm pulling this stuff from. And...
yeah, let's take a quick break, and then let's make collage.
Yeah.
Let's figure out what the hell that means, and we'll make some stuff together. It's funny, I keep a post-it note thing here so that I don't forget to say stuff or if I have an idea I want to come back to. But I did just write God, human, and sin in three rows.
What if we run with the Wonder Cabinet concept?
I think there's something there for sure. The other thing I wrote was just like text, image, and other. Like the when I think of collage, I think of pictures, but obviously that's not the only thing it can be. And like how using other media to make collage or like mixing media is its own thing, and what we could do with that could be really interesting. But we could combine these thoughts with the Wunderkabinett.
Right, because there's like sound collages too, right? Like artists will like make a small, however long, snippet of sound that contains their experience visiting something.
When I was like 15, I would use what was the Adobe music program? Does anyone remember? I used it when I was a kid to basically, I would take like, oh, the drum track from this one screamo song or whatever, and then like a horn that I heard that was like an isolated audio file, and make these weird sound collages. But it was like, what if I took the screaming part at the end of this Thursday song and I reversed it, and then I put it with some bagpipes, and it was just like weird emo girl talk that sounded utterly unpalatable from a teenage me.
Oh my god, you were seeing girl talk?
Yeah.
I'd say we're back.
The artist's name was Bullet Belt, and that was a joke that I didn't have. I was a Vasex core on MySpace, and I did have a music page where I would put some of this garbage. It's lost to time.
We all need little pages where we put our garbage. Oh yeah, it's probably leaked somewhere.
MySpace like lost all of the music when it like transferred servers a few years ago.
That sucks.
Do you believe Tom when he tells you that?
Tom's that just really, hoarding it.
Do you really believe Tom?
This is a cyber metal adventure too, where you have to confront Tom from MySpace and find the hordes of data. It's just printed.
It's got all the Prince Masters and all the MySpace lost tracks.
But they're all physical copies. There's no data, so they couldn't leak on the internet. He's just got tapes and
unleakable.
Tapes.
Unleakable.
Anyway, that actually sounds fun.
You're Tom. You've got your vault of MySpace stuff. What are you making sure gets in there? What does like a physical version of the internet look like? Sorry, my name's William Gibson. Anyway, Wonder Cabinets. I was just looking at pictures of these on our break, and they are incredible. They look exactly how you think they do.
I'm pulling up some images.
So the one I'm looking at, it's like a cabinet that opens, and it's got lots of different drawers in it. And it definitely seems to be divided into three parts, which I love that concept of the closer to God, kind of Midgard level, and then underworld. So taking out that concept, what are we thinking for a game that kind of asks you to step into the role of a collector and then a collager?
So I think if the goal is for the character to be building a wonder cabinet, then our gameplay involves finding items. And then, like, I guess arranging them is an aspect of them, but obviously we have to find them first.
Kind of a tabletop collectathon.
Maybe that is the sort of rifling through the magazines to find, like, the things that you're going to cut out and make collage from. Or that is, like, I almost wonder if, well, we're bordering on LARP again with, I was going to say, like, what if you just went out and found something? And I'm like, oh, that's, I guess you're literally just making a wonder cabinet at that point, which is cool.
Like, that could be the, like, at rest bit of play. Like, not during the session. Maybe during the session, it is a Toy Story imagining of the things in the wonder cabinet come alive and use each other and live in a world. And every week you bring new toys to put in the wonder cabinet and that kind of shit.
I was also thinking of, like, if the character sheet is a wonder cabinet and there's, like, the GM presents a bounty board of, like, next week you're probably going to need some fire, a robe, and a sword. And then people bring their cutout versions of that. And maybe it's almost like slotting in your powers. And if you put the sword in the sin level, you have some sort of fiery sin sword. And if you put it in the heaven level, maybe it's like something that can, you know, knight other people. But it, like, comes with different properties depending on when you slot it.
I really like that as like a, when we played the Wizards in the Waste by Bats in the Brain Trust a couple of years ago. And for those that don't know, you're bringing media that you like, and those are basically your powers. And you interpret them as needed when you use them. And I remember when we played, I had this vintage advertisement book, and I was using, like, an image of Ronald McDonald and Grimace on a rocket ship to, like, cast spells. But the idea, like, maybe I have this McDonald's ad and, like, then I cut it up, right? So the rocket ship, Ronald McDonald, and Grimace are three unique aspects of my character.
And Grimace belongs in hell.
Grimace is hell. I think then the rocket is, like, neutral and Ronald McDonald is on God tier.
I would love to hear more.
We'll save that for another time on how Ronald McDonald is a godlike figure. But
you can buy my book.
But yeah, I really dig that. I even dig this idea, like, the Wonder Cabinet as a character sheet, like what you were talking about earlier, Aaron, where you don't start with a blank white piece of paper. Say, excuse me. Say, maybe we start with, like, the D&D 5e character sheet. That has its slots and spaces for you to write stuff already. And instead of putting in numerals and stuff, we are, like, cutting up stuff and putting them in the slots, and, like, sort of repurposing this thing, which I think, again, is, like, sort of what collage is, right? Like, decontextualizing the source material into a new thing to say something different and say something new, but the thing that it was before has value, has themes, has stuff tied to it that are part of your composition, right? So, like, using an existing character sheet for a game as our base makes it clear that, yes, this is a character sheet, this is how we track information, but we're doing something different with it. We're going to change how it's used and why it's used with collage.
I love that. I even see players bringing different sheets, whether it's like a tax form or a birth certificate or a character sheet or any kind of identification. We're kind of getting into things being representational of what the object is at the table, which is super cool. And it makes me think, like, how far can we push that with a map or whatever our resolution is? Like, obviously I'm thinking deck of cards as something where each card is representational, but you can put in your Yu-Gi-Oh card, or you can pop in a tarot card or cut something to size or stuff like that.
Some Jerry's Map vibes.
Exactly. And we're here.
Yep.
The Jerry's Map section.
The logical direction of most brain trust conversations is Jerry's Maps.
I mean, it kind of sounds like... So Jerry's Map, for those who aren't familiar, Jerry, last name, is an artist who basically spent his whole adult life creating this massive map, quadrant by quadrant. It's made of anything that was around, and it's so big it can only be shown in full at several galleries in the U.S. That are like in repurposed industrial zones, basically. And it is gorgeous and inspirational, and it's generative. And this artist made his own deck that dictates the elements that he is adding. And so you'd think that's all. No, he is adding revisions and changes and reflecting time through these maps. And it is just like such a hulking, inspirational work that I know we're all a fan of. So I wonder if we are kind of circling a system or a application to inhabit these maps with our Wonder Cabinet characters.
I mean, you can get Jerry's Map panels on eBay for cheap. We could just start ordering them and building characters to play in it.
I'm looking at three on my wall right now.
Right.
But just, you know, synthesize, like, either it's the actual maps or, you know, a framework I love in games is that you start on a void or just a single explored section of map, and then you are learning about this world and mastering this world as you move through it. And I think this sounds like it. Like, you just have your zone in the center that has your wonder cabinet that you start out from, and you are generating and exploring and building this place.
I really like this, like, meta reflection too of like where the characters are going out and probably looking for items to add to their cabinet, and we as players are looking for items to add to the character's like cabinet that defines who they are, right? Like the character sheet being a collage, that is the wonder cabinet that we the players are making, but the characters are making their own wonder cabinets in the fiction that is the items that they find through exploration.
Yeah. And it can be as, like, prep can be as much as, like, I found this Nat Geo magazine and we're going to cut out a hex from it to represent our whatever we're stepping through, or.
Yeah, Tyler.
Physically collaging.
Tyler Crumrine has that tool too. It's just like a 1-inch hex template that you could cut. Like, you put it on stuff and then you cut out the 1-inch hex, so you have this like standardized hex creation system.
I want to play this. This is getting fucked up. It's hitting the fucked up level where I want to play.
It's definitely doing. It's a game that doesn't need any writing. You know, like this is like a completely like freeform thing that we would just play and kind of like figure out as we go. In a good way.
Is there some sort of rock, paper, scissors component to God, human, devil?
Oh.
Where you, like, compare, you know, I have devil beats human, God beats devil, human beats God, I guess?
I guess so. I guess so, by what you described.
Oh, we freaking made up God. That's why they call you the hit maker.
I will turn this God around.
No, I think that's awesome. That
we should almost start playing.
Yeah.
That's kind of where my head's at.
I'm going to grab my vintage advertisement book off of the wall. This is my favorite thing to play collage with.
Let's take a break. We'll come back in 5 human minutes and play Wonder Cabinet.
Okay.
Perfect.
Sound fun?
Yes.
All right, designers, you have 5 minutes until 58 to find your ammo chest of stuff.
That's such a cool, even like that being part of it, like treating this is like a cooking show. Like, a cooking show of a game. We're making the Iron Chef RPG, the Iron Game. Oh, I mean,
you're trying to distract me so I don't. How many things?
I'm not, but no, I just love this idea that like the secret ingredient is the background, yeah, like the collage piece, yeah, that we're all placing on, and that's the Iron Chef shared ingredient. And then everything else is what we bring, and we're each doing something different, but we live in the same like space. Okay,
I love that.
Yeah, 58. I'll see. 58. We'll be back. We'll do it.
Peace. And we're back on the Brain Trust podcast. Each of us went out into our locales and found one or two or more things to use for our playstorm of Wonder Cabinet. Now, we mentioned before that we would use some kind of blank character sheet or something that's not a white page to kind of reflect Aaron's experience with the collaging element. So first, I'm curious, what did everybody pick?
I've got a book called Ad Boy, Vintage Advertising with Character. It's just sort of a collection of older ad mascots from the 50s and the 60s. Some of them are full ads. Some of them are just like the mascot. I got it mostly for like a character design reference a long time ago. But I've more often used it as just like a completely bananas source for game stuff that I would never be able to come up with on my own. I'm also like, I'm sat and we're recording and I'm ready to go. But I don't know why it didn't occur to me to just grab an issue of Crap Hound, which is
the like, ultimate cheat code.
Yeah, that's the game genie for this game. Crap Hound is just like an ongoing zine series that is like collaged clip art, and it's sort of a mix of public domain and copyrighted stuff that's Xeroxed to hell, and kind of they're themed in interesting ways. And they did one during a year or two ago that was like themed about just like general sadness, and that would be just an absolute killer source for stuff like this.
General sadness reporting for duty. It strikes me that
I guess.
I'm at parade rest, but they don't know that I'm crying. So it feels like a expansion or just a content for this game would be making your own shelf that you can make into a zine and give an upload for someone to use. They just like can bring your own pre-selected shelf into their game of Wonder Cabinet. Masterpiece thing. Okay, so you got the vintage ad illustration. Aaron, I'm curious, what'd you get?
I got A Guide to Everglades National Park in the nearby Florida Keys, published in Racine, Wisconsin in 1960. So a lot of animals, trees, some maps. I got an issue of Madame Tarantula, a black and white comic book from 2001 by Mike Hoffman. There's some men and women and tiger people and some big bugs. And then I got a Thundercats adventure, Visitors from Space, a Happy House illustrated picture book about the Thundercats.
Hell yeah. I got the official MTO driver's handbook for Ontario. I've got a big-ass graphic design book from... it's a German graphic design book. No, it's Dutch. And it is called Causing One to Have a Clear Picture in the Mind. This is one of my secret graphic design hacks that I use. And I've got a book called Chernobyl, A Stalker's Guide, which is like a photo book of Chernobyl from the stalkers that go there.
Damn.
What's next? I guess we draft some stuff, right?
So I've made a little like on my sticky note, I made a little 3x3 grid. So the rows are, the top row is God, the middle row is human, and the bottom is sin. And then I wrote just those little like alligator marks to remind myself that like sin conquers human, human conquers God, and God conquers sin. When we get to that sort of rock, paper, scissors system. So I have three spots available for each category in my Wonder Cabinet to start.
I love that. I've done the same thing.
I'm doing it now.
We should do a World Wonder Cabinet. But that's not, it's not balanced with those things. It's nature, right? Like, things are only affected when we touch them in this kind of, like, hyperbolic time chamber world where nothing exists until we see it. So do we start just by filling in stuff, or should I grab something from each of my books and then give each of you something from mine?
Ooh, so there's three of us. I feel like that's kind of perfect. So we'll each start with three items. Like, we each pick one of our own and then get assigned one from the other two players. So we each start with three things in our Wonder Cabinet. But I would say I don't think they need to be on separate level. Like, they can be anywhere on your grid, depending on
godliness. So we've got the three rows, God, human, sin, and we've got three columns. What if one column is, like, on your person, the second column is, like, your psyche, and the third column is maybe something else? Is there a good analog for that?
Like a desire or like a goal? Maybe to sort of drive some direction?
They're like world level things. So maybe the middle column is personality and then desire is the other one. Funky. All right. Who wants one? I got the Chernobyl guide.
I'm ready. Hit me with something.
I'm giving you a diving board that goes into an empty pool with graffiti in it.
Oh, holy shit.
I'll send a picture in the chat.
I think that's going to go in the human row of my personality column. And just for the sake of what we're doing here, like recording, I'm just going to write it, diving board, empty pool in my grid. I think that
kind of representing danger, perhaps.
I'm thinking that I was like, I'm on this sort of tail end of my success story, right? Like, I was once something better than I am now, and I've kind of like decayed in some way. So I'm thinking maybe my maybe we should have done some world stuff first, but just saying, like, maybe we're just, like, in a gonzo world to sort of, like, a patchwork world.
Maybe.
So I'm, like, this is one of my player character tropes, to be, like, a professional wrestler or fighter. But I think I'm, like, the Mickey Rourke wrestler. Like, I was once the champion, and now I'm just sort of doing, like, high school gym halls. So I'm arguably past my prime, and that's what I get from this sort of diving board photo of an empty pool, right? Like, it's no longer being used to swim in, it's no longer being used to dive off of. It's not useless, but it's not at its peak.
That's
Will, you want one? I got one.
Please hit me.
I have a picture of a salamander with just two front legs and gills, and the accompanying text that says, "Siren, an odd salamander of ponds, ditches, and canals."
Ooh, that's beautiful. Length, 2 to 3 feet. That sounds like, I want that to be on my human level for self. I would like to be that salamander thing. So I'm going to make that kind of my corporeal form, taking it very literally.
Amazing.
And just to sort of close this triangle, I'm going to give one to Aaron. I've got an image of a ever-ready, leak-proof battery. It has the quote, 9 lives on it, and then there's an image of a cat jumping through the hole of the number nine, and its its tail is a lightning bolt.
I think that's a personality in my sin. I'm forever leak proof. No one will know what's inside me.
Oh no. General Sadness reporting for duty. Okay, let's kind of populate the hex that we're in right now. Let's make three hexes kind of attached all on a star, and let's each draw from another source to get that. So I'm going to hop into this big old graphic design book and pull out. I'm looking at a page that just has a bunch of stylized at signals, like at signs. So maybe this section that we emerge from is a big server farm that's just like a room with rows and rows of servers that seem to be on and doing something, but it's hard to know what.
That's perfect, because I just sent in this like robot that says special delivery to every bearing everywhere. So I think we're in this server room, but it's like it's like a hyperactive. Like there's stuff flying everywhere. There's like they printed the internet. Tom from MySpace is here. We're doing some great callbacks on this app, I gotta say. But there's just like data flying around everywhere, and like robots carrying it. There's drones. There's just like hype. It's just so busy.
Well, going off the flying and the robots, out of this Thundercats book, I got a robot in front of a spaceship. So I think, you know, stuff is processed and stored here, but then there's also some air defense and some air delivery.
Can you go ahead and read the dialogue that's on this image?
I did make sure to keep one bit of dialogue. It says, "Thanks for getting rid of that ugly creep," said Snarf.
That's illustration awesome. On this thing is really nice. Cool. So I think so we're here and we're kind of trying to figure out, we're trying to get a reckoning of what our characters are and what our situation is. So we know the where. I think we need like an overarching why.
I think there's ugly creeps here.
There's ugly creeps.
Yeah, and I think Snarf wants us to get rid of the ugly creeps. I mean, that seems like a pretty driving force. That gives us some direction on what we're doing, and maybe Snarf has a little trinket reward that we can throw in our cabinets later. Maybe that's why we got hustled into this gig.
I'm flipping to a page in this driver's handbook that's all about snowmobile signals and signs. So that's just the kind of stuff you're expected to know when you drive in Canada. apparently. So, does anybody have any idea for that? Kind of like a snowmobile, snowed-out area?
Can it be some kind of, like, white noise? Like, the information is, like, held and kept, but then there's some kind of wild noise that we must turn into signal? Or it used to be signal, but now has escaped into some sort of snow?
Yeah, like that's the reason why this whole place is obscured, except for Tom's bunker that we're inside of. That's like rendered understandable space. Oh, it's indexed. Like we're in the only indexed space here, and it's our job to cut a path through unindexed world and figure it out for ourselves.
I dig that. I think then we need... So, I'm going to go ahead and share another image, but I think to just add some sort of danger to this setting, to this sort of snowdrift data crunch, we have some creatures out here that are, like, imposing. And so I sent these Trix Rabbit buttons. Yes, let the rabbit eat Trix, or no, these Trix are for kids. And the yes button says, "Thanks, nice kid." And the no says, "Aw, shucks." And I just sort of on accident, and I think this is sort of a fun nature of collage too, like if you were not playing with scissors and you couldn't do, like if we were tearing, in this camera shot, I accidentally got a bunny for president button as well at the top there. So I think we have these, like, maybe they're like car-sized hopping creatures that are all white, and like they're like crunching this data. They're like bit crushing. So the snow is like loose and powdery, but we have these big effers that like compact it down and like squish it down. So in a way, they like create pathways for us to tread on, but they themselves are quite dangerous.
Beautiful. And it feels like since we've created this campaign start, it seems like we have a goal, we have an environment, we have ourselves. We would play, we would use these elements and generate new elements on the fly, and then we would call session end, take another break, whether it's between sessions or in a session, and find new stuff to generate. And it kind of feeds itself. And that just sounds really cool.
Yeah, I kind of like, too, this, if we're like this 3x3 grid thing also makes it a tic-tac-toe board. So, like, I wonder, you know, like, my diving board personality, human personality, is right in the center. So maybe I, like, use that in some way in, like, a skill test. But if I'm up against something sinful like these data crunch bunnies, then, like, I lose and that becomes an X. Like, the game, the world, has placed an X on my tic-tac-toe board of my wonder cabinet. And like maybe my goal as an individual player is to like make a single line or something. So then you're either like pure godliness, pure human, pure sin, or your pure desire, pure personality, or pure gearhead. And then there's the diagonals, which are these like fully realized weirdos, and could just add some additional depth to like why you're collecting certain things in certain places.
And I like that maybe if there is a GM, each like threat or each adventure might have a full 3x3 grid that's hidden. And then when you do maybe you're comparing your human body stuff to the, a little bit of like, and then does your human body stuff, if there is something in the god body on the GM side, then you defeat that thing. But if, you know, I don't know.
I love it. And the 3x3 grid can power so much of it, where a GM move could be like activate everyone's center tile or everyone's center top or something. So you are keying in different elements, and if someone doesn't have something there, they got to either find it or generate it. And you are able to make this kind of abstract representation of what's going on with our characters in the world. I really like the concept of just having everything owns one of these 3x3 things, and they mean different things in different contexts because whatever you associate it with means something else. I think that's really strong.
Yeah, it's sick. Hit publish, baby.
Hey, we did it.
Did we just get nominated another one for most innovative again?
Well, you know, it's that time when we are Babe Ruth style, shooting it out of the park.
We've aimed at the Emmys.
Took a shot. It's been so great to talk to you, Aaron. Where can people keep up with you and find your stuff?
Yeah, I am at Aaron MF King on Twitter, and the podcast is at rtfmcast.com. This has been super fun. Thanks for having me.
Read the Fucking Manual is an awesome podcast, and I got to talk about Gamma World on it, so go check out that ep. But yeah, we talked about how much we love Aaron's stuff, so definitely go check that out.
I'll give it to you for free if you need it.
I'm on Twitter at WC Game Co, and all of my games are in print at worldchamp.io. Depending on when this is released and what I'm feeling at that time, the store might be closed. I don't know. So
go check the store.
World Champ
go,
Game Co.
Go look at it right now.
itch.io for digital stuff in the event that I am away.
Yes, and that doubles as a programming note. We're recording a bunch of these before they come out, but like stacking them. Usually we record them live to tape. I am Will. You can find me at will.com. As time of recording, it doesn't matter anything that I'm doing, and time of release, I'm going to be doing something interesting. So I'll see you then. All right. Again, thanks to Aaron. And brain emoji, handshake emoji.